And though these great lizards were little more intelligent than the fish, they felt. They felt the pleasure of hot blood on their tongues, the agony of a festering wound, and maternal protectiveness. They died in great numbers, rotting corpses ground and crushed by geological processes into the diamonds and crude oil that other beings would, in time, murder each other to possess. And a few, just a few, would enter a state of deathless preservation. Trapped in silt and unable to fully decay, the calcium of their bones replaced atom by atom with rock, until they were but stone skeletons, immortal in form, yet with nothing of their bodies remaining. A mockery of the vital living creatures they once were. Life on the nameless world continued this way for billions of years, unheeded by the rest of the galaxy. Then, one night, a Saurian scavenger sniffed the wind, sensing something had changed. Pointing her long snout towards the sky, she took in a sight that had never been encountered there before. New stars burned in the rainbow smear of the sky, points of light that clustered together with unnatural regularity. Lights that glowed with balefires, green as the island canopies, and moved across the sky as clouds did. To the scavenger's rudimentary brain, strange visual information like this could only be a hallucination brought on by consuming one of the island's poisonous plants. Her body triggered a purge reflex, vomiting egg yolk and root plants, before she darted for the twisted labyrinth of ground trees. As the scavenger watched, judging the threat, the lights descended. The creatures were large, with great sickle wings swept forward and bodies so black they barely stood out against the night. Like any who survived on the island, the scavenger knew a predator when she saw one. Cold emerald light spilled from the creature's bellies, and the scavenger detected the foreign scent of sand baked into glass. Two-legged creatures stepped out of the emanation, feet shattering the plate of fused beech. Starlight glinted off their bodies like sun on the sea, and their eyes burned the same green as the lights on the flying predators. The world would be nameless no longer. Chapter 2. Eldari World of Sephiril, Eastern Fringe, 10,000 years before the Great Awakening. Ancient stories passed from the lips of spirit singer to spirit singer, held that anyone who touched the stone would burn. Thy hand shall curl and turn black, thy back teeth glow white hot, thy bones crack like fire logs, for I have drunk from elder sons. The songs held that the gemstone was a meteorite, wandering semi-sentient, absorbing the energy of each star it passed. During the war in heaven, it was said that warriors had used it to channel the gods themselves. Trazin, however, had learned long ago not to believe the absurdities of Eldari folklore. Ancient though their race was, they were still given to the follies of an organic brain. Trazin had travelled the galaxy for so long he'd forgotten what year he'd started. Collecting, studying, ordering the cultures of the cosmos. And one thing he'd learned was that every society thought their mountain was special, that it was more sacred than the mountain worshipped by their neighbouring tribe, that it was the one true axis of the universe. Even when informed that their sacred ridge was merely the random connection of tectonic plates, or their blessed sword a very old but relatively common alien relic, a revelation they universally did not appreciate, he found, they clung to their stories. Which is not to say there were not gods in the firmament, of course. Trazin knew there were, because he had helped kill them. But he'd also found that most of what societies took to be gods were inventions of their own, charmingly fanciful, imaginations. But though he did not believe the gem channeled ancient gods, that did not mean it wasn't worth having, or worth the Eldari protecting. Indeed, the sounds of a siege echoed through the bone halls. Trazin allowed a portion of his consciousness to stray, if only to monitor the situation. Part of his mind worked.